Christ is calling for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed, we bask in the sunlight of glory. On heavenly manna we're fed, while souls o'er the ocean in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Lasley. May I say a very warm and pleasant greeting to all who are listening to the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. This is Willie Murphy coming to you once again over radio station XEG as we do each Friday night at 11 o'clock. We have certainly been thrilled by the response of those who have been enjoying the messages. It gives us renewed courage and strength to continue our work of faith for the Lord, believing that he will surely make his word a blessing to those who receive it. We trust that God will make the broadcast fruitful and that he will enrich the lives of his people. If you are a new listener to the broadcast, we would appreciate hearing from you, and we will be glad to include your name among those to whom we mail the printed copies each week. Now, of course, this does not exclude those who have been hearing the broadcast and also receiving these copies regularly from writing to us, because we'd be glad to hear from you also. And of course, each week we also print late news which may be of interest to the Lord's people. If you're not receiving the printed copies at present, please send us your name and address that we may begin mailing them to you at once. We have no subscription price and there's no obligation on your part. We just want to know that you are interested in receiving the truth of the teaching of God's Word. For the comfort and the hope of both saints and sinners, I would like to speak to you about the promises of God. Listen to this verse in Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now the Scriptures are full of promises which God has made. It seems that there is no limit to the wonderful things which he has promised that he will do. But most of these promises are restricted and are given upon the condition that we meet certain qualifications. Shortly after Adam and Eve fell from their estate of purity through transgression, along with the curse which God sent upon them and upon the earth and upon the serpent, came this promise in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This curse and promise was made to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now the serpent here represents the devil and all that is sinful and wrong. God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. This promise God brought to pass when he raised up Jesus Christ as the seed of the woman who was the Savior of the world. It was through him and the giving of his life as a sacrifice for sin that the power of Satan was broken in the lives who accept Christ as their Savior. In this way, Satan's head is bruised, and sin is conquered at that very moment when its powers are unable to keep the shackles of sin bound upon God's children. These shackles are broken, and the serpent's head is bruised. But with this promise also is the reminder that Satan still has the power to bruise the heel of the woman's seed. This he did at the crucifixion of Christ. Now this is just one of the promises of God, and there are many others contained in the Scriptures from the beginning of Genesis to the ending of Revelation. I recall another earlier promise which God made to Noah. This was one which was given after the mighty flood waters had subsided from the face of the earth, and Noah was once again safely upon the dry land. Listen to this beautiful promise found in Genesis 9:12-16. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." Now there may be those who would tell us that the reason we see a rainbow in the sky after a rain is because the light colors are diffused through the moisture. Yes, this may all be true. But God nevertheless promised that he would put it there because of his covenant. I consider it one of the infallible promises of God. Now listen to this scripture in 2 Peter 3rd chapter and 9th verse. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." One of the outstanding things which I like about this verse is the fact that God not only sends forth his call to the Jews to call them to repentance, but he sends forth his call by the Spirit to all people and nations, and gives us to know that the door of repentance is open to all who will hear his call. Notice again this verse we read to you in Acts 2:39. "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Friends, as you listen to the radio broadcast tonight, let me ask you this question. Have you heard the call of God in your life? Are you giving heed to the promises of God? Yes, these promises are precious, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." But let me be quick to remind you that we can receive the benefit from these promises only as we hear the call of repentance. Now, in the early part of this year, I hope that each of you may claim these promises for your very own. We hope that they will become a part of your life. And then you will find that what God has promised, he is able also to perform. Listen now as Kathleen gives you this most remarkable experience of one who heard the call of God. After she had spent many years searching vainly for the truth, and when she turned from the sinful paths to follow this call, what a change it made in her life.
Turning Point in My Life by Agnes M. Gaddis. Praise the Lord for taking me out of the wicked world at the age of 65. Being left an orphan at an early age, I was placed in a Catholic orphan home. When I was 14, I was placed in a private home as a helper at $8 a month. After 2 months, I left to go on my own in New York City. I soon went to work as a child's nurse, went to night school to finish my education. By the time I was 18, I wanted to get more out of life, so I tried various kinds of work. One was private investigator. That was my greatest experience and was very dangerous at times. But the Lord had his hands on me all those years. As I was entering these places, I would say the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. On Sundays, I would visit different churches seeking for the truth. It was hard because I would hear so many different sermons and couldn't understand any of them. Somehow, in my heart, I felt like it wasn't the real true gospel. In July of 1961, we went to Overland, Kansas to camp. It was there I was saved and baptized. Praise the Lord. About 8 months ago, I went with another dear friend to her church, which is the Church of God. I liked it so well, I am now one of the dear saints. When I first met the saints, I just couldn't believe my eyes. I didn't think such love existed among people. Praise the Lord. I request the prayers of the saints that I may grow stronger for the Lord.
Yes, think of it, friends. Here is an example of what God can do in the life of one who is 65 years old, but one must be willing to hear the call of the Spirit. Here now is Patsy with a poem for you.
What is Your Message by Russell H. Douglas? I called and no one answered. Could it be that they are gone, or could it be that they are sleeping and they cannot hear the phone? Today many souls are sleeping. Today many souls are gone after things that dull their hearing. You cannot get them on the phone. But you can call the control office and leave a message for that one, that they may be contacted just as soon as it ever can be done. Now Central is always ready to get that message through, but the words of the message are left entirely up to you. Is your message for the good of the one that you are calling for? Will it lift them out of sorrow, or will it only add to more? Some are seeking for a shelter from a cold and drenching rain. Some are seeking for a way to stop the aching heart of pain. They who seek only for the great feed and fatten on the swill. They never see till it's too late what is the Father's will. It's not His will that any be lost. He made the way so plain, not through greatness, but through His Son, that all may heaven gain.
Let us pray. Our Father, take the message of Thy Word and make it effectual to the salvation of those who are hungry and the comfort of those who are in sorrow, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Listen now to the song by the Beasley family, At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burden so found liberty.
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be yours and a very plenty. Good night.